With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Lindsay Perigo is back with us for Perigo's Perspective. No mucking around, no small talk this morning, Lindsay. You said last week we're starting to win. I've heard a few people say that since, of course, we had the on the steps of Parliament delivered to Winston Peters the 33,000 signatures of the people's terms. And, you know, it just, well, things like that are happening more regularly, let me say. So I think you're right. We kind of, it feels like we might be starting to win. So, Lindsay, great to have you back. The floor absolutely belongs to you.
Great to be back, Paul. Thank you. Good morning to you. And indeed, I noted last week that we haven't yet won, of course, by a long shot, but we are starting to win. We, being liberty lovers in the battle against woke fascism. Loyal listener, he'd be known to you, Paul, Mike of Foxton, took great heart from that. Paul, ladies and gentlemen, suspects the return of Reality Check Radio signals more than just the return of a radio station. It is part of a cultural reversal of historic enormity. I like the term I used last week, cultural counter-revolution, as distinct from and opposed to the ghastly cultural revolutions of Mao, Marcuse, and the woke fascists. Brian Kilmeade, host of the weekend show One Nation on Fox News, thinks the tide has turned as well. Warning here to the woke, the following clip is over 3 minutes long and will severely challenge your feeble attention spans and hurt your feelings. But give it a try.
Fear is gone and freedom is back. Specifically, fear of being canceled is gone and the freedom to criticize has returned. There was a time when society was so manic that if you said one thing that was deemed politically incorrect, guess what? You're canceled. I'm here to say this week, I'm convinced that the long era of diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, and cancel culture is coming to a close. Why do I say that? Three words, Tom Brady roast.
I've never seen Inglewood so white. Jesus Christ. It's so f***ing white in here. Looks like a Bruce Springsteen concert just let out.
Kim was terrified to be here tonight. Not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me no, that not real money. Like,
fun fact, Jeff and I are both Jewish. The difference is I'm the kind of Jew that people look at and go, oh, he's Jewish?
All right, there you have it. You got religion, race, sexuality. You can't get anyone offended anymore. Maybe we've turned the corner. I think it started with Dave Chappelle when the powerhouse comedian stood up to cancel culture.
I am not bending to anybody's demands.
When a handful of Netflix employees demanded him be fired, management stood tall.
You have to answer the question, am I canceled or not? Then let's go.
Right. In journalism, let's switch there. The era of Dems walking on water seems to be over. It began, I think, when Barry Weiss, tired of indoctrinated journalistic culture, leaves the iconic New York Times. Rather than sell out her integrity, she went away from the mainstream. She started the Free Press, and she is dominating. The Times had tried to cancel her. That failed. Fast forward to Yuri Berliner. With a 25-year career at NPR, never voted for a Republican, but the unfairness he was witnessing at his own publication was a pill he could not bear to swallow any longer.
Part of it was Trump's election. Like every newsroom, every legacy media newsroom, we were shocked, disturbed, distraught, really troubled. But after a while, we started covering Trump in a way that we were trying to damage his presidency, to find anything we could to harm him.
I know you knew that, but not many people were admitting that. So when they wanted to suspend him for speaking out, he said, I got a better idea. I quit. More signs of change in legacy media. The New York Times, new editor Joe Kahn, made it clear the paper will not become, quote, an instrument of the Biden campaign, close quote. He goes on, there are people out there in the world who may decide, based on their democratic rights, to elect Donald Trump as president. It is not the job of the news media to prevent that from happening. It's the job of the Biden people and the people around him to stop that from happening. No joke, Jack. And finally, the Joe Biden Protection Brigade might be breaking up. CNN did an interview, a real interview. Erin Burnett asking real questions. Listen.
It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office.
What happened? They're asking me real questions. Cancel culture, political correctness, groupthink, indoctrination. Well, is America finally coming out of it? In my view, after years of darkness, we've seen the light.
Let us pray that that is not a case of premature ejexaltation. At the weekend, the woke fascists' worst nightmare, Donald Trump, briefly let out of the kangaroo court and Stalinist show trial going on in New York, had the biggest political rally in American history in Wildwood, New Jersey, attracting over 100,000 patriots. Beijing Biden, the bribed bastard, of course, can't fill a room, and even then only with fawning fake journalists. Top of Orange Man Bad's agenda, finishing the wall and deporting the millions of invaders, including Hamas terrorists of the kind to whom Australia and New Zealand just capitulated at the United Nations, including Chinese communists of the kind to whom New Zealand capitulated long since, including gangsters, sex traffickers, fentanyl pushers, and sundry other random generic scum Beijing Biden has welcomed in over the last 4 years. Yes, Orange Man Bad will banish them all.
So this is having to do with our border, an old great song. I had to change it a little bit to make it pertinent, but it is very pertinent and very true. And it's called The Snake. And it talks about illegal immigration and how stupid it is what we're doing right now. We're letting people come into our country that we will only be trouble. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Poor thing, she sighed. I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. That's our country. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a comforter of silk and laid him by her fireside with some honey and some milk. She hurried home from work that night, and soon as she arrived, she found the pretty snake she'd taken in had been revived. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. She clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in by now, you truly would have died. She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed him and held him tight. But instead of saying, thank you, ma'am, the snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. I saved you, cried the woman. And you bit me, but why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. That's our country. That's our country. Right? That's our country.
How delicious it was, how edifying and gratifying to contemplate the terror that must be gripping the woke fascists with their Trump derangement syndrome. It must be terribly triggering for them to confront the menacing specter of free speech, which Trump is going to restore. What, for instance, will the snivelling, snowflakey psychos who freaked out at the idea of a debate about free speech at Victoria University and secured the cancellation of that debate, what will they do? Of what therapy can they avail themselves? In which safe space? Especially now that the debate is back on. More of this sort of thing, I suppose. That was a triggered San Francisco snowflake. Still, you know the tide must be turning when even left-leaning commentators in far-left woke fascist rags, such as Stuffed, start to admit it's been flowing the wrong way. Here's Josie Pagani in her Post column last week. A commendably fair and honest portrayal of visiting free speech activist Jonathan Rauch. Quote, "The greatest idea that humans ever had is also the most counterintuitive idea, that we should not only tolerate speech and thought that is wrong-headed, seditious, offensive, obnoxious, heretical, or blasphemous, but that we actually benefit from this as a society. It's how we sort good ideas from bad and live in peaceful disagreement. Censorship isn't just refusing to have a debate. It can be hidden when experts like Julie Ann Genter see their authority as beyond question. We got lazy, like Sisyphus rolling his boulder up the hill. We must defend free speech again." Unquote. I kid you not, that was on Stuffed. So was an op-ed on May the 1st by Michael Johnson and James Kierstead, senior fellows at the New Zealand Initiative and former Victoria University academics. The op-ed was titled, "Beware the Uni Seeking to Limit Freedom of Speech." Good Lord, if Stuffed keep this up, I'll have to cease calling them Stuffed, and that will be no fun, but I hope they keep it up anyway. But wait, there's more. On Friday, the Department of Infernal Affairs, DIA, not to be confused with DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, in which bovine manure the DIA is awash, announced it was abandoning proposals to further regulate online speech. Quoting Voices for Freedom now, quote, "The proposals for online content and media regulation effectively amounted to hate speech laws for the internet and press, the centerpiece of which was an unelected, unaccountable regulator who would have had the power to fine social media and internet-based content platforms for breaching rules designed to tackle harmful content. The DIA summary document names Voices for Freedom and the Free Speech Union as responsible for almost 19,000 combined feedback submissions using templates from VFF and FSU websites." Unquote. Well, better yet, I say, abolish the DIA and its DEI altogether. Come on, Seymour, Minister of Deregulation, deregulate the whole bloody thing out of existence. Chuck the DIA, DMH, down the memory hole. That won't happen, of course, and it's still not entirely clear what damn Jacinda Jackboot is going to be up to, nor what will happen with the inflection point event. But regardless of all that, upon Voices for Freedom and the Free Speech Union, one must assuredly bestow the Freedom Award. Still, we are not done. The seminal swirl in this veritable hurricane of hope is the most unbelievable of all. Seen the light, Brian Kilmeade? That doesn't begin to capture the miracle of Comrade Chris Hipkins' epiphany, finally, as to what a woman is. Remember how he struggled with that?
To be honest, Sean, that question's come slightly out of left field for me. Biology, sex, gender, people define themselves, people define their own genders.
No longer so, apparently. Chris seems now to have evolved and realized there are two fixed genders independent of whim and fantasy. Well, there must be, mustn't there? Because otherwise, between whom exactly is there a pay gap?
What's the current national gender pay gap?
Sorry?
What is the current national gender pay gap?
Yeah, just under 9%.
Very good. Does he think it's acceptable? Does he think it's acceptable that women...
Just hang on.
Does he think it's acceptable that women working in New Zealand earn just under 9% less than men for the same work? If not, what's his government going to do about it?
No, we actually want to see pay parity in this country. We're going to work very hard to make sure that happens.
Supplementary question. Why does he think we have a gender pay gap in New Zealand?
Oh, there's a long-standing number of reasons that that has caused that pay gap. That's not acceptable. We're going to keep working hard on it.
What are some of those reasons?
Well, there's a number of reasons for it, but I'm just telling you it's an unacceptable gap. We're going to work hard on it.
Supplementary question.
Ronald Winston Peters.
Seeing as this matter is related to gender, it's very important for the government. Has he received information as to what a woman is?
I wonder if the reason Winston couldn't quite get his words out was guilt over the UN vote. But even as New Zealand shamefully votes in favour of ham ass at the United Nations, even as the lights go out in our homes and streets thanks to the woke fascists' climate scam, lights are turning on in more and more people's heads. We are starting to win. I can feel some more triumphal Tchaikovsky coming on. Was it the 5th last week? Well, this week let's have something from the 6th.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.